You're listening to a DM podcast.
Hello and welcome back to Beyond the Lights. It is your host,
Amy Gerard.
Amy Gerard, I'm being introduced by my lovely guest today. It is none other than
Bezel,
better known as Lauren Gosha, better known as my non-blood related family member, sister I never got, best friend forever, and
keep going.
Yeah, I mean, not only do we have Lauren here today, but we have another very special guest. I mean, he is sleeping on the job, so I'll be giving him some feedback, but we have Rocky Gosha here. I've never said his full name out loud.
I know, it sounds weird.
We've actually nicknamed him Luigi because...
It wasn't Luigi. When did we change
that? I think
you changed
Luigi because what were you calling him?
I was calling him Giuseppe.
Someone was calling him Guido, right? So just as a bit of a background for everyone listening, Lauren is Italian and so far all of her babies like Hope and Cooper, who are also named Susie and Snuff, like they've all got their own little personal nicknames. They are like quite fair and light skinned and curly, beautiful hair. And then your third baby has come out like the Italian little...
Dark, straight.
Dark hair, dark lashes. So naturally we've called him Italian nickname. I actually think I remember saying something to Ryan like, what's a really traditional Italian Luigi nickname? Yeah, so Luigi.
I remember when he came out and I said to the nurse, as a joke, I said, oh no, they've put the wrong egg back in. And the looks on their faces. Anyway.
I actually think he looks the most like you.
Oh, I just look at him and see Hope. Even though he's so different to her, he's got the same little face. And I think he's got the same personality.
He's got the same little nose as well.
Yeah, they've all got my nose.
Yeah, they do. But you've got a great nose. I've only realised just recently that my nose is not ideal. Like on the side, it's quite beak-like. And I was like, where is this coming from? Ryan's got a great nose. Thankfully, both of my kids have his nose. But then I was like, I was actually studying my mum the other day. And I was
is
like,
is it her?
Yeah, it's her nose. Now you won't be able to unsee it.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, we didn't come here to talk about noses. We're here to check in as a community because there's lots of women that have followed your story closely. Mm. And we want to collectively check in on your new role as mum of three. How are you going?
So far, so good.
You've absolutely
nailed
timed.
Today.
You yeah. nailed this. Lauren, I was dropping, I don't even know, one of the kids at school, and then Lauren rang at like 20 past nine, and she was like, I'm driving into the podcast now. And I was like, wait, we're not going until 11. She goes, yeah, but I've got to feed him at 10, and he takes like half an hour, and I want to get a spot. Anyway, you got a
super
spot.
Super organised.
VIP spot.
Yep.
Baby's fed. He's now fast asleep in her arms. You've absolutely nailed it. Are you nailing mum of three life?
No.
Yes, you are.
No.
She's absolutely nailing
Sometimes
it.
Sometimes I think I'm killing it and then...
How are you not killing it?
You know what it is?
What?
I was thinking about it because I knew you were going to ask me this, about going 2 to 3.
Mm.
So the biggest thing for me hasn't been adding another...
baby.
Kid. It's been missing my other kids.
Yeah. So
like just not like it's just defaulted that Trent now looks after
Hope and Cooper.
Cooper and I obviously stay with the baby a lot more.
Yeah.
And I just noticed that I'm not like I'm just not with them as much as I used to be. And that's probably been the thing I struggled with the most.
Yeah. And to be honest, that never changes. All that changes is once Luigi gets older. Once Rocky grows up, you'll still feel like there's always one kid who misses out. Like for me, I always go to bed being like, shit, I didn't spend enough time with Charlie today. Or shit, I haven't like been as attentive towards Bobby.
You know what else I realised?
Yeah.
Because they're with him more, he also is the fun parent more now. And the only time I feel like they are seeing me is when I come in
to, like, get a routine happening.
Get something done. So, like, I might not be with them all in the morning and then I'll be like, right, you need to have a shower, you go here, change your clothes. I'm doing, like, the asshole jobs.
Yeah.
And he gets to be the fun parent.
So that also never changes. That literally never changes. But I think I look at my parents and I remember, like, my mum was always like, my kids only want me to make their lunches, because they're like, Ryan will sometimes make the lunches, but my kids are like, no, mum does it better, because I know them better. And I do the lunches and I do the washing and I put the clothes away. And I'm like, right, when Ryan's not home, like the other night I called him and I was like, hey, all three kids are asleep. It was 5 to 7.
Oh, were you like?
Yeah, cheering. Yeah. I poured myself a wine, watch maths. But Ryan will always be the fun dad. He'll come home, if he does work from home or if he comes home earlier, he revs them up every night.
Yeah.
His horsey rides. He's basically undoing all of my work.
I actually witnessed it the other day when I was at your house in the pool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, holy shit.
He's like a 120 kilo large man child.
Yeah, but God, they must love that.
I remember even growing up, I don't know if your parents were the same, but like my dad was always the one, he'd be like setting up obstacle courses and he'd like get us doing running races along the beach. And my mum never did that. My mum never played with me.
I don't remember. Do you remember all this?
Yeah, I remember my childhood.
Like from when?
From like kindergarten?
Oh, don't you? Really? No.
What?
No, I don't even think I remember much from down from year 5 or something. Maybe.
You've been knocking your head against walls.
I don't remember.
You did just
like,
have a baby.
Oh, man. That's something that's changed.
Your brain?
I'm so dumb now.
No, I'm so dumb.
So Hope has an excursion today. Yeah. And I was like, I need to get a new shoe. Like, she needs to wear, like, closed-in shoes.
Yeah.
So I did a click and collect order. I said, Trent, I'm going up to Miranda to buy the click and collect order. Come back with a Nutribullet. No shoes. I had one job.
Wait. I can top that. The other day, I thought it was Harmony Day.
Oh,
and
it's this
I
week.
Was, yeah, but yeah, last week on Tuesday or something, I was like frantic about it. I was like racing around the house trying to find something orange.
There's
nothing, I fucking hate the color orange, right? There was nothing orange in my house.
Who owns orange?
So then I went up to Big W, but because of that, we were all late. So then I had to walk into school. Everyone was flustered. Charlie was crying because she was late.
Harmony Day.
Then I walked in to be like, hi, I'm so sorry we're late. Like, but I just had to get stuff for a Harmony Day. Yeah, orange socks and hair scrunchies. And she goes, oh, it's not today. And I was like, I beg your pardon.
Can I stab you in the
head? Yeah, and then like I'll say to Bobby, finish your breakfast at dinner time.
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
I call them every name under the sun. Or my favourite is when you're trying to discipline and you're like, don't you disrespect me or rah, 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 and I'm saying something and nothing makes sense. Like I'm slurring my words or I say that and they just laugh at me.
I never thought mum brain was, what is it? Baby brain, mum brain, whatever. Was a thing, but it's such a thing. I actually used to be smart.
Guys, I used to be a paralegal. I used to do like contracts and be able to read stuff and most importantly, focus.
Think about how many tabs are open.
So many tabs. So many Internet Explorer tabs.
Yeah.
And like,
you've got Chrome open, you've got Safari open, everything's open.
I've got Internet, yeah, and there's viruses in all throughout all of them. Like everything, there's a shit smell, everything. Anyway, it's a lot and you understand now.
I do get it now.
I do love that you now have 3 children.
Yeah.
I also love that we had 2 girls first and then 2 boys.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Just copying you.
I want to ask, what did you find the hardest? I mean, I feel like you've found none of it really that hard. Like
1 to 2 or 2 to 3, is that what you're going to ask
me? Or 0 to 1. Because everyone asked me, what do I find? For me, it was 2 to 3, for sure.
I'm going to say,
yep.
I could be wrong, and this is just from my experience.
Yep.
I don't know if it's because I wanted it so badly or I was so ready for it that I haven't, as of yet,
really struggled with any of the ages
Yeah.
Your hard part was probably trying to conceive.
Yeah.
Right?
So I feel like anything after that is just
easy.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm not doing that.
And you know what? That makes so much sense.
To what I have noticed,
yeah,
which is a lot different to what everyone else will say, I have a small gap with Hope and Cooper. It's 12 months.
Yep.
And I have
a bigger gap,
2 years between Cooper and Rocky. And if I could say anything, I like the smaller gap more.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because I feel like it's harder now. Like I'm out of – like with Hope, when I had Hope and when Cooper was born, Hope was 12 months old.
Mm.
So it was very much still in baby mode, right? Whereas now we're kind of getting out of that with Hope and Cooper. They're only on 1 sleep a day. They're a little bit more self-sufficient, whereas it feels like I've gone back to looking after a newborn. And,
well, you have.
But it's just a totally different thing having a bigger gap. I probably struggled with that more, the gap, than I did with having two babies. Yeah.
Well, it probably felt like when you had Hope and Cooper, it probably felt like you just had two babies.
It was almost like they're exactly the same, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas this feels like, again, Trent takes the older kids for a swim. He takes them down to the park and I'm with the baby, whereas before it was like two babies.
Yeah. Do you like babies or you prefer toddlers? Like when I had my babies and Ryan had to step up with the other, like first it was Charlie.
You would have loved
it. First it was Charlie and Bobby. I fucking loved it because I froth a baby and I'm also lazy.
I do. I love a baby because they don't move. And I have two very active toddlers.
Yeah.
So my toddlers don't move. They're constant. I constantly have to wash them because they're quite risk takers as well, right?
Can confirm that Cooper is the roadrunner.
Yeah.
He is so quick. I remember watching him. He was on the chair. He jumped up on the table chairs and he was walking around it. And then my brother Ben was like, oh, he's so quick. And I said, yeah. And I looked over and he was gone.
Yeah. He's so quick.
I was like, where the fuck did he go?
He's
is
so.
Luigi waking up?
He's going to make an appearance soon, I think.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I like Rocky because he doesn't move. He doesn't talk. I can walk away. He's still there when I come back.
Yep.
Like he's not rolling. So it's just very easy. Like,
yeah. You can get all your housework
but
done.
But I also love, like when I talk to Hope at the moment, she's
so cute, man.
You get so much more. She can talk to you. She can tell you what's going on. So it's like, it's a lot easier to instead of guessing all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny. I was driving Bobby and Kobe to Illawong this morning. And Bobby was talking about school. And normally I've got like my music on or whatever, but I was just listening to their conversation. And Bobby was like, you know, if you get a pink or blue card at school, do you know what that is? And Kobe was like, yeah, real bad. And Bobby goes, yeah, real bad. Like if you get one, you get it.
Oh, I can fully imagine his
little
voice.
And then he was like, if you get two, you can't play at lunch for 20 minutes. And Kobe was like, oh, I'm never going to get a blue or pink card.
What do you do to get them?
They're real strict at the kids' school. Like, you're not even allowed to run on the asphalt. A little bit ridiculous, right? Like, kids are, like, absolutely, like...
Cotton-mauled.
Another part of what this whole podcast was about
I'm
is...
I'm so excited.
And
I'm kind of offended.
What?
I'm slightly offended.
What are you offended over?
How have I not read your book?
Hang on a second. First of all, I have brought my book in here. Second of all, this is my second copy. That's it. The first copy...
Mate, Charlie's even read some.
Yeah, because this is the copy that I got sent home and I gave it to Ryan.
Still offended.
Because Ryan has not read it either.
At all?
No, he'd read like little parts, but he was like, I can't read it on a screen phone. So I was like, you should probably read this because I talk about my exes.
Is the audiobook happening?
Yeah, the audiobook will come out on the 3rd. So I can read to you at nighttime.
That'd be nice.
Or you can drive somewhere and just pop little Amy Gerard audiobook on. And it's like I'll be in the car with you, except I'm coming through the speakers.
Like I bought your book, but I think I'm going to buy the
audio. Okay. Well, if you listen to my podcast, then yeah, just do the audio. And I think the good thing about this book, not me tooting my own horn here, but it isn't like a James Patterson book where there's a storyline.
Yeah.
You know, like some of those books, there's a storyline.
Oh, I feel like I'm going to relive a lot of
You will
moments.
Relive half your childhood.
Yeah.
Like even yesterday I said to mum and dad, because my mum's going overseas to the UK, like, are you going to come to any of my book launches thing? Like any of the like books in bars or anything like that? She's like, I'm away. And I'm like,
I didn't even know about that either.
Even Ryan was like, I've got to go and buy tickets. I was like, it's sold out.
You don't want us there.
Of course I want you there. You're in the book. All right, guys. So here's my book.
It's so weird.
It's so weird. I've got the most buffed arms. Like I actually look a little bit like a bodybuilder and they don't look like that now. Like they've gone all like flabby. But at the time when I shot this cover, I was still doing
Show
Pilates.
Me the back shot.
The back shot is me.
That's when you look at you look ripped look at, there.
I look a little bit like a greyhound as well. But I wanted Lauren in here. Not that you've had a hard time lately. You're absolutely slaying Mum Life of Three. But I wanted to read. There's a chapter in here called Friendships. And the Friendships chapter are like my expectations. The whole book is all about like the expectations I have in life and what I think certain things are going to look like versus what they actually look like. But my friendships chapter gets broken down into like reason, season and lifetime friends. I'm going to read a little chapter. I'm going to read a little snippet from the friendship thing to my bezel. This is Richard Mercer.
I was just about to
love
say,
song
is this
dedication.
Love song dedication?
So lifetime friends. My lifetime friends are the special people that I feel the closest to within all the different friendship circles I've been in. I count about 5 friends in this group, but ultimately the number one friendship in my life is with my bezel, aka Lauren Gosher. Oh. Our friendship feels more like family and sisterhood than it does friendship. I once read a quote that said, "Put more romance into your friendships and more friendships into your romance." And it wasn't particularly revolutionary, but it was the first time I realised that romance doesn't have to be reserved for whoever is putting their penis inside you. It can be with your girlfriends. Sorry. The ones you have had the happiest, longest, and most heavenly relationships with. Lauren and I used to spend Valentine's Day dating the shit out of each other. She made me meatloaf 1 year and I made Nutella crepes. And we ate them on her balcony by candlelight with a photo of ourselves printed out, laughing at the dumb shit and all the idiotic men we had wasted our lives dating. For me, a friendship that can withstand the absolute test of time comes down to 2 people who are living completely and utterly parallel lives and still making sure they are equally invested in one another's life. I first met Lauren when we were both 15 years old. We met at a mutual friend's backyard birthday party. I don't even know if we exchanged numbers because I'm almost certain that we didn't have mobile phones at that age. Maybe it was a home phone numbers, but the rest was history. We didn't even go to the same school, but we spent every single weekend together. When we weren't together, we were sitting at home talking on the phone for hours. You know how they say dog owners eventually start looking like their dogs? Well, Lauren and I spent so much time together, we started looking exactly like each other too. If she dyed her hair blonde, I dyed mine blonde. If I got extensions, you bet she did too. We went through our Paris Hilton era together, then onto our European era in which we dyed our hair dark, coated ourselves in so much fake tan that we were basically walking high-vis humans. We got fake IDs and nothing could stop us from going out and spending hours and hours on the dance floor. If I was kissing a guy, Lauren would be kissing his friend and vice versa. Double dates only. And you couldn't really ever get one of us on our own. We were a package deal. If Lauren's chicken fillet fell out on New Year's Eve, I would catch it. And if I had an argument with my boyfriend and ran away, Lauren would pick me up. We spent every birthday together and would go away on each other's family holidays. We are each other's yin and yang, and our friendship is based around wanting the absolute best for one another, knowing what each other needs without being asked, and deep, deep loyalty. She is the most loyal person I know, the least competitive, the kindest, and the most thoughtful, and I am so glad we found each other all those years ago. I'm getting emotional. When I think about a friendship that experiences divergent phases, it's us. Funnily enough, even though I was always the one who had back-to-back boyfriends, she was single for quite some time. I still remember her saying to me once, "I bet I get married before you." Do you remember saying that to me?
Yeah.
And sure as shit, she was right. She also went on to say that she always thought that she would have trouble falling pregnant. I mean, maybe she has psychic abilities that she's never cared to tap into, because she was right about that too. I was maid of honour at her wedding in Bali while I was pregnant with Charlie, and little did I know that would be the start of so many incredibly hard years of infertility for her. While she struggled year after year, I went on to have 3 children in less than 4 years, and I felt guilty about each one. She made sure she always expressed how excited she was at the announcement of each pregnancy, but I knew that she was hurting. I tried to be there for her as frequently as I could, and I don't know if I always got it right as a friend, but I did always try my hardest. When you have a friend who you know is hurting, you tend to avoid bringing up the subject for fear of upsetting them further. And I was guilty of sometimes trying to ignore the elephant in the room, not out of awkwardness or to be mean, but truly because I didn't know the right words to say. When I fell pregnant for the second time, I remember feeling incredibly nervous about telling her, knowing she had been actively trying for a baby for almost 3 years at that point. Her response was always the same, happiness and joy, but behind her eyes I could see the pain and it broke me. She deserved to be a mum more than anyone I knew. She loved my daughter like her own and I really wanted it for her so badly. The best advice I can give to anyone who has a friend going through something similar is to just stay connected and stay close to them, even when they push you away. I couldn't make her pregnant, but I could take her mind off things and help it not suck for a little while. For more than 5 years, she rode that roller coaster while I was at the other end of the spectrum, trying to navigate life with three kids. Regardless of our differences or the curveballs that life threw at us, our friendship always has and always will remain a huge priority in both our lives. It's a friendship that consists of riding through the storms hand in hand and basking in the sunshine together. And I honestly can't imagine a world in which she doesn't exist. After all those years of heartache, she now has, by the time this book comes out, three children. And I am a proud godmother to all of them. I love her and those babies so much I could cry. We're not going to read the whole book here because I'm spoiling it for people. But that's a little snippet. That's my love song dedication for you, Bez.
Oh, it was really nice.
Oh, was it nice?
I just got really emotional. I'm like, don't cry, don't cry.
Well, I mean, the fact that Rocky hasn't even woken up and said a few words himself.
He's waking up
right now. Is he?
Yeah.
Okay, bring him over to me.
Actually, you can take him because I'm really sweaty.
Were you sweating then?
You know what? It's hard hearing, like, I can only imagine how hard it would have been when you were having your babies and not wanting to talk to me. Because, like, all I want to do is share everything with you with my three children.
Yeah.
And I hate, like, I know everything happens for a reason and I wouldn't have these kids if, like, I understand all that, but...
Well,
there you go, rug dog.
Is he awake?
Oh, he is now.
You know, like when I was in the absolute deep end of it and I had all three at home, I remember you're like my go-to phone call for anything and everything in my life. And I think that was the part where I struggled because I was like, I can't ring and vent about how hectic and cry on the phone about because it's all you wanted.
Oh, good morning.
It's such a hard one because I obviously have friends that still haven't had
babies yet.
Yeah, and it is a hard line to tread because you obviously don't want to be, but at the same time, that's your life right now, right?
Yeah.
You hope, just like you hope and you say in that book that you did it justice, like what your job was, and like it hurts me to think that you didn't have what I have now. Like I get to share everything with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I guess that is the other side. Like when you're going through it, you're only kind of thinking of yourself and what you're not thinking of. Like I probably wasn't sitting there at that time going, oh, Amy can't call me to, you know, talk to me.
Not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, I think the biggest take from that whole half a decade for me was that
No matter what,
our friendship was still a number one priority to me.
I always think if your friendship can last through, like, when you are, like, at polar opposite ends, like, even right now, I'm deep in baby mode.
Yes.
You're deep in, like, career mode, right?
That's right.
So to survive that and be at totally different worlds, and to be honest, pretty much our whole friendship has been like that. We've never really been at the same...
I feel like the only time we did everything the same was when we were in, like, our teens, early 20s.
Yeah. Well, not even. Maybe when we were, like, under 18.
16. Going with our fake IDs and our skin-coloured stockings.
Oh, it's so funny. Every time I post those photos, all people talk about is the tan and the fact that we never fake tanned our feet, so they were always, like, bright white.
My mum went through a stage where she refused, like, all my bedding was poo-coloured brown, chocolate brown. All my bath towels were chocolate brown. Do you remember we would just spray ourselves like Sally Hansen legs?
We rubbed foundation into our legs.
Mate, we've rubbed foundation over our whole bodies.
It's so funny now because now I'm like, oh, I don't have to wear makeup, do I? And I remember someone saying to me, one day you won't care. And I'd be like, I will never be that person that doesn't care. I'm going to be one of those mums.
The hot mums, the MILFs. I will never forget. I was working in Martin Place and I just found out I was pregnant with Charlie. And I used to wear, like, my hair was immaculate every day. My makeup. I used to wear pencil dresses with stilettos.
I've washed it for like two weeks. Like,
mine is also not washed. And it's so funny. I actually feel like having kids makes you realize that, like, it doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't matter. And like...
Is he awake? He's so cute.
Hey, you want to say a few words?
Hi. Hi, baby.
Hi, my name is Rocky. Hi.
Yes? How old are you, Rocky?
He's 12 weeks this week.
12 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, big stretch.
Oh, that's the best when they do that. Oh. Hands up if you love your mum. Oh.
Oh, what is it?
Did you just do that?
Hands up. Yay.
So all three babies of mine was the same batch in the freezer together, made at the same time.
Yeah, so that's so cool. So they're all from one load.
Yeah, Trent's like so proud of that as well.
Oh my God.
I'm like,
it's like the power load.
It's like, yeah.
Oh, it's just pathetic how little they have
I'm
to
like,
do.
I'm like, mate, what did you even do in this process?
Nothing.
You just had fun in a...
in a booth. You just jerked off into a cup.
Yeah.
Even Ryan giving me shit like about my period. Like even in my birthday card this week, last week, he was like, you know, the most amazing wife and mum, 3 weeks out of the month. I was
yourself.
I told
you, Trent said to me the other day, he's like, I don't know why every month you have to whinge about your period. You said you got it so young, you should be so used to it by now.
What? And that just means that like it doesn't hurt you or like you don't get emotional or hormonal.
I was like, you're a football player. Every time you dislocated an arm or a leg, were you just like, oh,
that's right,
a dislocation again?
Oh, it's my 20th shoulder dislocation, so I won't obviously talk about how painful it is.
They'll never get it.
They would. Ryan wouldn't even survive one period, let alone 12 a year. Oh, he's so cute. Listen to those noises.
Oh, he looks real happy.
Does he?
I think he might be doing something on you.
Oh, poo? I can smell something.
No, hectic farts.
I don't know if he's doing a fart or...
he's poo?
Is he straining?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Dude.
Thank you.
Where's your manners?
Hey, Rock, thank you for joining me. I mean, you slept through most of it. And you've woken up to do a poo on my lap, but I'm so glad that I am a safe space for you to feel comfortable to do that.
And you did really well. I'm really proud of your book.
Oh, yeah. Did you like my little blurb?
I did.
So the book and the audio, both on the 3rd of
April. How was that, recording that?
I was fucked. That was probably harder than the book because the guy was like, you need to be, like, conversational, like you're telling the story across dinner. And I was like, okay.
Did you have to, like, read it again and again and again?
I would do, like, a chapter and he'd be like, stop, go back.
Oh, so he sits there and listens to the whole thing while you do it and stops you then and there?
As I'm doing it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There was a part where I like properly cried. I was like, wow. And he was like, just go with it. Go with the emotions. And I was like, this feels really corny.
Do you think people are going to cry or laugh or both?
Look, the crying part, there was only a very small part. I don't know if people will laugh. I mean,
Have your parents read it?
No. I got them to read the part where I speak a lot about their marriage.
To see if they'd mind.
To see if they were okay with it, and they said that they were fine.
Did you have to change names?
I changed all of the boyfriend's names.
So no one will know who
you'll know. You'll know all of them.
Be like, that motherfucker.
Yeah. But nobody else will know. Yeah. Okay, thank you for joining me.
Thanks
for coming in. Thank you. I'll be in your ears or you're on your eyes, 3rd of April, but you did just get, you know, 2 pages of my love. My love for Bezel. It's everlasting.
Thanks, babe.
Thanks for listening, guys, and I'll see you next week. Bye for now.